Radio is supported by Sony Picture Classics, presenting Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, a romantic action film set in ancient China, starring Chow Yun-fat and Michelle Yeoh, opening Friday. Good morning and welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Melanie Summer, sitting in today for Catherine Lanfer. Governor Jesse Ventura's contract with the XFL Football League has ignited another debate over the outside activities of him and other elected officials. Some lawmakers are criticizing the governor's decision to do color commentary for the new football league over 12 weekends, starting on February 3rd. His salary has not been disclosed. State Representative Phil Krinke, a Republican from Shoreview, has introduced a bill that would ban the governor and other constitutional officers from moonlighting. Also this week, a new Star Tribune poll shows that Ventura continues to enjoy a 70% job approval rating. But support for his outside activities is evenly split at 50-50. What do you think about the governor's outside activities? Should he be banned from moonlighting? We'll be interested in knowing what you have to say here on Mid-Morning. First, we will welcome Representative Krinke, who is in the studio this morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Well, tell us first, what are your concerns about the governor's outside activities?
Well, first of all, I think the situation that we're facing with the governor's upcoming XFL color commentary contract is very different than him writing a book or his one-night appearance in last year, 1999, with his WWF referee job. So this is a situation that I certainly am concerned at how much time he's going to be taking away from state business, and also the image that this is going to project nationwide of our governor.
Why is it so different from those other things? Because it's an extended time commitment?
Well, first of all, of course, it was reported that this was going to be a 10-week, 10-game contract, and now we realize that it's going to be 12. Also, as you reported earlier today, the governor said that he was going to be on vacation, and now we realize that he's off doing some promotional work for the XFL. So one question is, how much time is this going to take? Is there going to be preparatory time? Is there going to be promotional time? Are there going to be other associated? Maybe he's going to do product promotional types of things. So where does this lead beyond just one night of doing color commentary?
Well, who are we to say, though, what the governor does on his vacation time or on his downtime? I mean, he is not working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, first of all, the job of governor is different than many jobs. We don't have a job description for the governor that says that he is allotted so many vacation days a year, that he has so many sick days, that he needs to perform these specific responsibilities. This is more than a 40-hour-a-week job that pertains to just doing a number of prescribed activities. And so we could go about writing a job description for the governor and saying the governor must do these things and the governor needs to be ready and able to meet with legislators or commissioners or other citizens or do other types of activities. Or I think the simpler way to approach this is just to say any constitutional officer, whether it's the governor, whether it's the attorney general, should focus 100% of their time and attention to the job they were elected to do and to the job that they swore an oath to, vastly different than working at 3M or working for Northwest Airlines or doing other types of activities.
Maybe we should define what you consider moonlighting before we go any farther. Why don't you define that term for us?
Well, in the legislation, there's a prohibition on outside income. Now, we are going to have some committee hearings and determine where to draw the line, but I just feel that it's important to draw a line for any constitutional officer, because what has happened here, as you some people may understand or know, is that the Attorney General wrote an opinion that said the governor was a state employee. Under state law, a state employee is subject to state ethics laws, state conflict of interest laws. The Commissioner of Employee Relations, who in the law, in the statutes, is required to make that determination, said, no, the governor's not covered. So the only option that we have in the legislature is to clarify once and for all what is the state employee, and constitutional officers, I believe, should be classified under these terms and conditions, and then to go the second step and clarify what a conflict of interest or what a use of your office for your own personal gain may entail. And I think the easiest way to do that is to say you were elected by the citizens of the state of Minnesota to serve the citizens. You should pay 100% of your time and focus while you're working doing that.
So you basically would say the governor, the lieutenant governor, attorney general could not have any sort of outside income, couldn't write a book, couldn't accept a fee for speech, that any of those sorts of things?
As I said, we're going to debate that and have some further discussion. I don't want to prohibit any type of activity, but do we want the attorney general opening a law practice in downtown Minneapolis? Do we want the secretary of state going out and for fee, telling people how to manipulate the election laws to help get elected? Do we want our state auditor performing private audits for a fee? These are the types of things that potentially, I'm not saying that any of these individuals are seeking to do that or have a desire to do that, but do we want our public officials, our constitutional officers, out seeking outside employment? I think we, the citizens, again, when they elected them, expect that these individuals will be paying primary focus and attention to doing the job they were elected to do.
Are legislators considered state employees under that law?
Legislators are not considered state employees under this statute. We are deemed to be part-time legislators, citizen legislators, working primarily only when the legislature is in session.
Are there, obviously, I would assume that you and most other lawmakers have jobs outside of being lawmakers.
I do operate a business when I'm not performing my legislative duties. However, during the legislature, I spend the vast majority of my time at the Capitol working on state business. I might mention that last night I met with the Secretary of State to discuss the budget and the operations in the Secretary of State's office, and we met from approximately 6:30 to about 7:30. So it's not a 40-hour-a-week job by any stretch of the imagination for any of us.
You know, the governor does not have a representative in this conversation, but he has said repeatedly that if there is state business to be done, he will do it. He will be there if needed. Governor Ventura is a different politician than we've ever had in the state of Minnesota. It, so far, people, to a general degree, seem to approve of how he's handling things.
Well, we did have another state elected constitutional officer about 20 years ago by the name of Bob Mattson, who was elected to the office of the treasurer, state treasurer, and there was a lot of controversy surrounding the fact that he had gone to Florida and was residing in Florida for extended periods of time and wasn't in the state of Minnesota and wasn't performing his job. I'm not in any way inferring that the governor's not doing his job, but it has also been determined by the Commissioner of Employee Relations that he's not a state employee, so what are the limits? Can he, as I said, start doing promotional work for the XFL? Can he start promoting products? Is he going to take a job doing a soap opera once a week? Where are the limits for the governor? And is he the, I don't believe he is the only one that can determine where those limits are and where they should be.
We are talking this morning with State Representative Phil Krinke. He's a Republican from Shoreview, and he introduced a bill this week that would ban moonlighting or outside activities for pay for constitutional officers, including the governor, the lieutenant governor, attorney general, and other officers of that sort. Obviously, this is in the wake of Governor Ventura's outside activities and his recent signing of a contract to do color commentary for the XFL football league for the next 12 weekends starting February 3rd. We're wondering what you have to say say about this? Do you think that the governor should have to curtail his external activities? Is it affecting the way he governs the state of Minnesota? Or is it not a concern of yours? We wonder what you have to say about this. At 651-227-6000 in the Twin Cities, 651-227-6000. Anywhere else you're listening, it's 1-800-242-2828. 1-800-242-2828. Representative Creakey, I do just have to wonder if Governor Ventura were writing a book on public policy, or if he were engaged in an activity that was deemed more dignified, if you will, than color commentary for the XFL, would you be concerned about it at the same level that you are now?
I think that's a very valid question, and certainly the type of activity as well as the amount of money involved in this activity, I think, does bring a concern to the situation. First of all, the governor purportedly is going to receive significant amount of money on a per game basis, something that might be approximating as much as what his annual salary is for governor. So my question becomes one of, if he receives as much money to do one color commentary for the XFL as he does in an entire year's salary as governor, then what's the priority? Is he more focused and more interested in terms of maintaining his contractual relationship with the XFL than he is performing his duties? If a commissioner of revenue calls the governor and says, Governor, I really need to meet with you and discuss tax policy. We have an important issue coming forward in the legislature next week. The governor says, well, I'll meet with you Monday morning because I don't have time this weekend. I'm going to do my other outside activities. So certainly, yes, I do believe that the type of work he's doing and the compensation level for that work does elevate this to a greater concern on my part.
Just one comment, then we'll take some calls. The governor was quoted as saying earlier this week that he's never worked on a Saturday. He watches football Saturdays and Sundays most of the time. To his knowledge, in the last 2 years in office, he hasn't really had official duties of that sort on the weekends. So, again, it raises the question of how big a deal is this really?
Well, all of us need a little downtime. All of us need a little time to relax. I watch a little football myself on weekends and try to not necessarily spend a lot of time in the office or deal with legislative business or my private business. So we all need a little downtime. That's terrific. We need to, as they say, recharge the batteries. So again, it enters into the question of if the governor is flying off to another city, staying, I don't believe that the job of doing color commentary is necessarily one that's very easy or relaxing. So again, how much time, how much energy, maybe a very dynamic, energetic fellow that can go nonstop 7 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day, that's terrific. But again, I think in the Star Tribune poll yesterday, it also indicated that 32% of the people in the state of Minnesota felt that this would hurt the image of the state. So that's another concern that has to be involved in this conversation.
Let's take Richard from Bloomington first. Good morning, Richard. Richard? Richard, are you there? Apparently Richard has left us.
Probably had to go to work.
Well, maybe so. Let me try another call. Let's take Byron from Burnsville. Byron, are you there?
Hello, yes, I am.
Yes, well, good. Hello.
Oh, good morning. I think that that he's working on the weekend is absolutely fine. And if the concerns about is it going to interfere if they come up, I think they should be pointed out. If I was Governor Ventura's spokesperson, I would have absolutely advised him not to do it. I think if he wants to be taken seriously, I don't think it helps. But I don't think there's anything wrong with what he's doing.
Why not?
Well, it's mainly because it's on the weekend and mainly because it's not during sessions. And also he made a point, I think it was down in Florida, that you know, if some of the other people are taking contracts from people who do business on the side, I think that's a very different issue.
All right. Thanks for the call, Byron.
Thank you.
Representative Creakey, I mean, I think a lot of people probably feel the same way.
Well, certainly, I think the key thing to remember here is that the job of governor is not a 40-hour-a-week job. Certainly, there are times when the legislature meets on Saturday. and we many times meet into the evening. So it's not necessarily a situation of, you know, weekends or evenings. Again, the governor's not a 40-hour-a-week job, so it is very different than many other jobs that most people are used to going to. Again, there's no prescribed vacation time, sick time, personal time off. It's not come in at 8 and leave at 5. It's a performance of duties that are very broad, entail a lot of activities, and so where is the focus? Is the focus on doing the job for the state? And I think I might also, the poll that came out yesterday in the Star Tribune points to 71% approval rating. Well, if the governor's approval rating was 51%, would people feel differently? Perhaps, maybe not. So this is, again, an issue that I'm not making this decision. This is legislation that I've put forward, certainly seeking additional public input. We'll have a committee hearing. It has to also pass the Senate. And, of course, it would have to be signed by the governor.
Well, there you go.
Before it would become law.
We have Joan from Faribault on the line next. Good morning, Joan.
I just wanted to comment that the legislature putting forward this bill, in my mind, is a bit of the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, I was very shocked when I moved back from the East Coast down to Faribault, and I'm in the Northfield district with Tom Newville, to find that he has a full-time law practice going on while he's the legislator. And so I'm just looking at it like this. If the legislature and legislators have other jobs on the side, I don't see why they want to hold the governor to a different standard.
Thanks, Joan. I think Representative Creakey sort of alluded to that before, but why don't you go ahead and make the point again?
Right. There is a different standard. There's a different standard set out in the Constitution of the state of Minnesota that legislators are part-time. They're required to be in legislative session for up to 120 days per biennium. The governor is a full-time position, and so there is a difference. There's a different set of ethics. There's a different set of requirements between any constitutional officer and any legislator.
Next, we have Michael from Burnsville. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My point is, the governor has always said before, you know, when he first said that he was going to be taking this job, that, first of all, it's on the weekend, and he said if he was ever needed, that he would not go to his, whatever he's doing, his commentary. He would stay behind and do whatever business is needed, and he had that put in his contract specifically. And as far as your examples of other public offices taking side jobs, first of all, what does this position have to do with his position? He used to be a former wrestler. And also, what about other people that get elected in the future? What if they own a business or they're collecting royalties on a book or something? Are they gonna have to renounce those or sell their businesses or that type of thing?
Thank you very much for the question, Michael.
Thank you.
Representative Creakey, I guess that raises a very valid point. We're talking obviously about one individual right now, but who knows who will be elected governor in 4 years or 10 years and what their circumstances might be.
Well, I've been asked by several media people about that specific situation. And first of all, again, the situation of, yes, I think that if we have had attorneys who have been elected governors in the past, they have left their law practices. We've had farmers who have been governors, and they have obviously not been involved in the day-to-day management or operation of their farms. So this is nothing unusual that someone who is elected to statewide office focuses and fulfills their obligations on a full-time basis. But again, other people have commented that some people have urged or inquired as to whether I might run for governor, and I, as I said earlier, have a business. I would certainly have to divest myself if I was elected governor under this law from my business. I would have to leave the day-to-day management of that business, and I would think, as I've said before, that would only be proper. That would only be to me, a logical requirement of being elected governor.
All right. The other question that I have been meaning to ask is the fact that as we talk about politicians, governors, et cetera, who have a former life and they are elected for a particular reason. A few points. Number one, everybody knew who Jesse Ventura was when we elected him governor. And number two, he's sort of said, you know, this is my career. And even though it's not a traditional career by many people's measure, why should he not be able to continue being involved in that career to some degree while he's in office?
Well, again, he was the one who chose to run for the office of governor. And while when he first started on this venture, he may not have believed that he was actually going to be elected, he was elected. And therefore, all we're doing is we're asking anyone who holds constitutional office to take a hiatus, to take a leave from their career, from their present employment, and serve the people of the state to the best of their ability 100% of the time. That doesn't mean they can't do volunteer activities, doesn't mean they can't sit around the house and watch television on Saturday afternoons, but it does mean that you're ready at the call to handle any issue that may come up in state business and that you're going to dedicate all of your time, energies, and focuses to performing that job.
All right. Next on the line is Donna from Minneapolis. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling. I'm very much in support of this legislation. The comment that I wanted to make is that the discussion so far, and from what I've read other people saying, seems to indicate that the governor seems to think that when he says he would be at the beck and call of the legislature whenever they need him, the underlying assumption is that the legislature or somebody else defines his activities as governor, when in fact the governor, because he's the chief executive officer of the state, defines his own activities. CEOs in other organizations work 18 hours a day oftentimes because the job of a CEO is so demanding, having to be on top of issues and knowing what's going on and so forth, cannot possibly be done without working on the weekend. In my own job, I work 14 hours a day, and I happen to work for the state. But there's no way that I can do my job if I don't work constantly, and I structure and define my job. So for the governor to say that he can spend all day Saturday watching football games, I wonder really how informed he really is about the issues and how effective a governor he can be.
All right, Donna, thanks for the call. Representative Krinke?
Well, I think the caller brings up an excellent point, is that we have approximately 55,000 state employees, and they have the governor to look to for an example. So if the governor, as the caller says, is saying, well, I can perform the job in the office of governor in a limited amount of time or in certain prescribed days of the week, what type of an example does that set for other state employees who are endeavoring far beyond the 40 hours a week to perform their job for the state? So we have to remember also, as the caller points out, other state employees look to the governor, citizens look to the governor as setting an example. So it's more than just performing the job and how long it takes you as an individual to perform it. You have to remember that there are other people that are looking to you to set the path to be the example for them and what their performance of the job should be.
What kind of job performance rating would you give Governor Ventura? I guess why don't you answer that question first?
Well, certainly I agree with the governor and a lot of his policies and what he's striving to do, striving to reduce the level of taxation in the state. He said in his State of the State address that he's going to have a minimal increase in state expenditures or budget increase. I think these are all well and fine, and I would give the governor probably a good a B rating in terms of what he's doing and how he's performing his job. But at the same time, his contract with the XFL hasn't started yet.
Mm-hmm. I guess Governor Ventura has been in office for nearly 2 years, and he has had the same, you know, he has had the schedule that he has kept for 2 years. And he, I would assume, but at this point, he knows what time constraints he has in various areas. If he's been doing okay the last couple of years with whatever schedule he sets for himself, what's, you know, why should we tell him he has to work more than he is doing right now, I guess is the question. You know, you said before there's no job description for the governor. So, but you're, in some ways, you're trying to write one for him.
Well, one of the things we're talking, or one of the things we haven't mentioned or have not talked about, is the fact that this is, again, the image of the governor, and it is also a question of ethics. We have not talked about the fact that I believe that this job with the XFL is one that he obtained by the fact that he is the governor and that he has achieved a great deal of notoriety and public publicity by being governor. I don't believe that he ever would have had this job offer or been able to perform this contract, get this paid this amount of money, if he had not been governor. So that's a another issue that I have a contention with. But certainly, as I said, just in terms of the performance of the job is not just, well, how are things going in the state today? Most governors, after they make their State of the State address, take a tour of the state, go out to talk to the citizens of the state, talk directly to the people about their ideas and their vision for where the state's going. This governor made his State of the State address and then promptly left the state. So we can't always be judged on how things have been operating in the past. I have concerns about what direction we're going in the future with this governor.
Just as an aside, the governor has pointed out that he has experience doing play-by-play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Vikings, and his connections with pro wrestling. This is probably one external job he may certainly have gotten without being governor. But, you know, it's hard to know at this point. But we are going to take a quick break for news, and then we'll return to our conversation with State Representative Phil Krinke. He's a Republican from Shoreview, and he has introduced a bill that would ban moonlighting for the governor and for other constitutional officers, such as the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and those sorts of positions. We are wondering what you have to say about this. Are you concerned about Governor Ventura's external activities, or do you think it's not a big deal? Give us a call at 651-227-6000 in the Twin Cities, 651-227-6000. Anywhere else you're listening, it's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Melanie Summers, sitting in today for Catherine Lanfer, and Stephen John is standing by with the latest in the news.
Thank you, and good morning, Melanie. Inflation at the wholesale level was flat in December, but that wasn't enough to keep the year 2000 from becoming the worst in a decade in terms of rising wholesale prices. They were up 3.6% for the year. The government says the producer price index was unchanged in December, despite a record increase in natural gas prices. Stocks have turned lower after opening mixed. Two high-tech companies have added their names to the list of those that are warning about profit weakness, Gateway and Hewlett-Packard. And it's the first day of trading for AOL Time Warner after winning final approval for the merger of the media giants yesterday. Former University of Minnesota men's basketball coach Clem Haskins denies making any improper payments in connection with the team's academic fraud case. In court documents, Haskins says he recalls paying $3,000 to former tutor Jan Gangelhoff, but that the payment was for proper tutoring. The latest Star Tribune Minnesota poll finds Minnesotans almost evenly divided on whether wine should be sold in grocery stores. The survey found 51% supported the legislative proposal to allow one-stop grocery and wine shopping in the state, 47% opposed the plan, and 2% were undecided. It's slow going on roads across southeastern Minnesota. Again this morning, a dense fog advisory has been issued for the southeast corner of the state. Visibility is down to a quarter mile and less in some areas. Yesterday, a school bus collided with farm machinery traveling on a road near Gilman in central Minnesota. A Foley ninth grader is in critical but stable condition following the accident. Six other students were also slightly injured. The forecast for today includes that dense fog in the north and east, especially periods of snow mixed with some freezing rain in the far northeast, highs from the mid-20s northwest to the middle 30s south and east. Then for tonight, mainly cloudy with areas of fog developing once again. Some freezing drizzle is possible. Tomorrow, a chance of snow in the northwest. Right now, 23 in Moorhead, 31 degrees with fog in Duluth, and it's 29 in the Twin Cities. That's an update from Minnesota Public Radio.
Last year it was ramp meters. This year, Senator Dick Day has targeted the SANE lane on 394. Hi, Gary Eichten here, and coming up on our next midday, Senator Dick Day. Also, author Bill Holm.
We travel, I think, to see not something exotic, but to see something inside us, to get some clearer picture of what actually we are as a human being before we go to join the great catnip factory in the sky.
Midday, 11 to 1 on Minnesota Public Radio, KNRW-FM 91.1 in the Twin Cities.
And we'd like to remind you that you can get more information about becoming a member of Minnesota Public Radio by calling 1-800-227-2811. We hope you'll stay tuned for the next hour of Mid-Morning. Coming up after the news at 10, we're going to talk about school schedules, whether or not the current 9-month schedule is serving our students well. Should we expand the school year? Should we extend the school day and offer more activities for students? We'll talk with an advocate of that expansion of the school calendar coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. Right now, we're continuing our conversation with State Representative Phil Krinke. He's a Republican from Shoreview who has introduced a bill this week in the legislature that would essentially curtail outside activities on the part of the governor and other constitutional officers. This comes in the wake of Governor Ventura's decision to become a color commentator for the XFL football leagues, which starts up in early February. We are interested in knowing what you have to say about this, whether or not you have concerns about the governor's external activities or whether you think it's much ado about nothing. 651-227-6000 in the Twin Cities, 651-227-6000. Anywhere else you're listening, it's 1-800-242-2828. Representative Krinke, we have Irv on the line from Minnetonka next. Good morning, Irv.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Hi, I'm just very frustrated over this whole thing, and I think that Representative Krinke is really out of line. Looks like he's just grabbing headlines. We have three distinct bodies of government, and the legislature, and the judicial, and the executive. And if the executive isn't operating properly, then the electorate should get rid of them. But I think Representative Krinke should be doing the legislative work that he was elected to do. I don't think in his campaign literature, he said anything about being the watchdog of the governor. And I think he's really out of line and wasting the taxpayers' time and money by spending time on worrying about what the governor is doing. He's an executive, and he can choose to govern any way he wants. He appoints wonderful people to his cabinet. They do the work. He supervises it. And if he wants to take a part-time job, that's up to him. If the electorate doesn't like it, then they're going to vote him out of office. But in the meantime, they seem to be very happy with him. And by the way, I'm not an independent. I'm a strong BFLer. I'm not necessarily a Ventura fan, but I am a fan of the executive branch and the division of government.
All right.
All I have to say.
Thanks very much for the call, Irv. Representative Krinke, what's your reaction?
Well, the caller is correct. We have three separate branches of government, but the legislative branch of government does certainly have a great deal to say about the operation of the executive branch of government. We determine in many ways not only the appropriations that are provided to operate the executive branch of government, but we do also set down all of the rules and conditions by which the executive branch of government operates. So the legislature does indeed have a great deal of purview and constitutional authority over what happens in the executive branch. I didn't say that this particular issue was going to gain broad or wide acceptance. That's not why I introduced it. I introduced it for reasoned debate and to determine whether or not there's enough support in the legislature to pass this legislation. And hopefully we are having a debate. We are getting the public opinion about what is going on and whether or not they believe that there should be limitations to outside employment for constitutional officers, including the governor.
Our next caller is Bob from Coon Rapids. Good morning, Bob.
Thank you for accepting my call.
You bet.
I think it's ludicrous that Representative Krenke holds this governor to a standard that no other governor before has been held to. And I have a question in that you said that the governor is not held as a 40-hour-a-week employee. What do you use as a standard to judge his performance?
Well, I think what I have outlined in the legislation is a determination that prohibition of outside income. In other words, no constitutional officer could be under contract or perform services for pay. That's the standard that's in the legislation is introduced.
Employee.
I'm sorry,
Bob,
yes. We didn't hear the first part of your response. Want to start again?
Yes, if the governor is not a 40-hour-a-week employee, which is a standard that's held by hourly employees in this state, what is the standard that you do hold the governor to now? And if he meets that standard, what basis do you have to prevent him from performing outside activities beyond that?
All right, thanks for the call, Bob.
Thank you.
Well, Bob, I'm not real clear on your point. My point was the governor's job is not a 40-hour-a-week job, and I believe that any governor or any constitutional officer should be performing only one job, be an employee of the state, be a servant of the people, and perform their constitutional responsibilities to the citizens of the state 100% of the time. In other words, it's not a 40-hour-a-week job. It's not a part-time job. I don't know whether I would say it takes 80 hours or it takes 120 hours a week. I don't think there's an hourly determination. And therefore, the only way that I saw that we could make a clarification is to say you shouldn't have another job while you're performing the office, the duties and responsibilities of the office of governor or any other constitutional officer.
Has this sort of issue ever arisen in the past with a governor or a constitutional officer where there was a concern about external activities affecting job performance?
As I mentioned earlier, we had a state treasurer, Bob Mattson, in the 80s who was not performing his responsibilities. Many legislators felt because he wasn't in the state. This was a said rather different issue,
right.
And what was found, I believe, I haven't looked at the history, I wasn't in the legislature at that time, but I believe what they tried to do is to curtail the operations of his office. They moved many of the responsibilities from his office to other entities of government. In fact, I think they tried to not fund the office, but it was found that constitutionally they couldn't eliminate the office. So it has come into debate before. I'm certainly going to research as we go forward on this issue what that particular situation was. But again, I'm not trying to in any way allude to the fact that the governor's not performing his job today. I'm just saying that I believe that, A, this job with the XFL was obtained because of his role as governor, which I believe is a violation of the law. There is no immediate remedy to do anything about that. So going forward, I believe a way to resolve this issue for this governor or any future governor or constitutional officer is, say, prohibit outside income.
All right. Next on the line is Margaret from Minneapolis. Good morning,
yes.
Margaret.
Yes, good morning. I fully agree with Representative Krenke that this is just totally unacceptable. You could no more be the CEO of a large General Electric Corporation and be the CEO of another company. It isn't done, and common sense tells you that. There's another issue here that I think always eludes or evades people is that this is just another example of how anything goes in America. We have lowered the bar and lowered the standards to such a degree that people think it's okay for a governor of a state to be involved with Vince McMahon in organized pornography. That's what's going to come across in the airwaves. That's pretty much what comes across on wrestling TV shows today. And it's just a much broader issue and very disturbing to anybody who has girls or women in general. It's just, it's demeaning for a governor, and it's demeaning to have women portrayed in the fashion that they're going to be in the football games. The whole thing is just very disturbing.
Thank you very much for the call, Margaret. Representative Krinke, obviously Margaret is concerned about the XFL, but it's sort of a matter of taste, though, isn't it?
Well, I have seen the XFL commercials and some of their promotional spots, and I agree with the caller that this is beyond just a question of the governor's outside employment. I think it also is an ethical question as to what type of activities the governor should be promoting, what type of image the governor is condoning and promoting and accepting. And here, again, I believe certainly that these commercials and the activities that are being shown in the XFL, they are very demeaning to women. So we have yet to see the broadcast, so we don't know totally what is going to be said and how it's going to be portrayed. But certainly in the commercials and the promotional items that I have seen, they are very demeaning to women, and I don't think it's something that the governor should be participating in.
Again, I suppose it's a matter of taste. I mean, we've been talking in the newsroom about how the XFL might go over in Minnesota, and in the combination of football and pro wrestling, there are a lot of people in the state of Minnesota who will probably be watching these games.
Certainly, I'm a strong First Amendment supporter, saying people can watch and can say and participate in most anything they care to do. But that's vastly different. What an individual chooses to watch, what someone else wants to put on television, that's their decision. But this is, again, a public official who is the highest office holder in the state. Their level of conduct, we can't set a moral standard for the governor, but we can certainly say that we don't believe he should be participating in this activity.
We're talking with State Representative Phil Krinke of Shoreview, a Republican who has introduced a bill this week that would, in the future, ban moonlighting or external money-making activities on the part of the governor and other constitutional officers in Minnesota. And we're wondering if you have a question or a comment about this. Do you think that Governor Ventura's XFL contract is going to influence or interfere with his performance as the governor? Do you have other concerns about his involvement in this activity? Or do you think that it is not going to have an impact? We're wondering what you have to say. It's 651-227-6000 in the Twin Cities. Anywhere else you're listening, it's 1-800-242-2828. Our next caller is Fulton, who is on the line from Bemidji. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine, thanks.
I have two quick questions to the representative. First of all, this question of image. After all, if he were a person who was going to, say, be a pastor at a major church and want to give a sermon every Sunday, I wonder if such legislation would ever even be considered. The second question I ask is, if it's okay for Mrs. Clinton to get an $8 million advance to write a book about her life as First Lady, which obviously most people think is fine, why is it not okay for our governor to do what he wants to do and make a little extra money on the side?
Thanks for the call, Fulton.
Yes.
Well, again, the caller raises, I think, two good points. First of all, I'm not sure that we should prohibit the governor from doing or obtaining book royalties or being an author. He has done that on two previous books, and I understand that he's in the works of publishing another book. I haven't raised the issue. I have not criticized the governor for his book contracts. The situation that you mentioned about the type of activity that he's involved in has come up before, and certainly I think it does raise issue. If he was performing, I don't know that he'd be a pastor in a church from what his comments
he'd
have been
be quite
about.
The preacher, though, don't you think?
He'd get people to sit up and listen, I think. But if he was, as one person said, performing with the Minnesota Orchestra or doing something in the arena of church work, I think the caller's right. It probably wouldn't be one that concerned me a great deal. But that's not the situation. We have an ongoing contract where he's going to be out of the state. We have what I believe is not a very moral or ethical promotional activity, entertainment activity that he's going to be involved in. It is a substantial amount of money what has been purported to be in as much as $1 million or more. So these are all issues that I think come together to raise this to a level where legislative action is needed.
But if this bill would be passed, the next governor or the governor after that would not be able to conduct the Minnesota Symphony or do other sorts of activities that you or other people might consider more acceptable. I mean, so we're talking about Governor Ventura right now, but this has far-reaching implications for those sorts of things. Is that something that that you feel is a concern?
There may be a situation where it might, in the future, limit a governor's activities. But I think, again, if you pass this, it is in law. Anyone who's running for governor would certainly be aware of those limitations before they sought the job.
All right. Next on the line is Nate from Winona. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning. I think the case that he got the job with the XFL because he's governor is kind of weak. Ventura has a long-running history with Vince McMahon in business. He used to commentate for the WWF. He has commentating experience. And he was a celebrity. He was a star before he was ever governor. So to say, well, he only got the job because he's governor now, I mean, you're totally disregarding the rest of his experience in his life. Also, I just like to say that, you know, Congress has their responsibilities and things they need to do. If people don't like what Ventura is doing, they'll vote him out. Give the people a chance to vote people out before you just willy-nilly make legislation all over the place.
All right, Nate, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Representative Krenke?
Well, to the caller's first point about the governor's previous activities, it's my understanding that the governor sued Vince McMahon for a rather substantial amount of money regarding the WWF using his name and his royalties, and the governor won that lawsuit. I don't know that someone would be really willing to hire someone who had just previously sued them. So I think there's a real question as to what that relationship was prior to the governor being elected. Number two is it's my understanding that the governor was dismissed or certainly a contract not renewed at KSTP when he was a broadcaster there. I don't know what his compensation was when he was announcing at KFAN, but I doubt it was six figures. So certainly something has added to his notoriety and his appeal, his public appeal. So I can't in any way envision that he would have been getting a multi-million dollar contract or a million-dollar contract to do XFL announcing had he not been elected governor.
Well, I understand that point that you're making. Obviously, I'm not sure of the background, the legal issues that you just described between him and Vince McMahon and KSTP. However, you know, the general point that you're making is that the fact that he's governor enhances his position.
And I think enhances his monetary compensation. He's worth a lot more today in the public image or in the public entertainment business because of the notoriety and the exposure that he's gotten as governor of Minnesota.
All right. John from Minneapolis is next. Good morning, John.
Hi. My points are two quick points. One is that I think the monetary compensation keeps coming up, and the example that I would bring up is what a previous fellow had said, and that is a CEO of a major corporation doesn't go out and be a CEO of another corporation on the weekends. But in fact, it's just like that. Most CEOs serve on boards of other companies and receive huge compensation for serving on other companies' boards. I guess that's my point.
And so what you're saying is that the governor's activities shouldn't be considered any differently?
Well, what I'm saying is that it doesn't. The boards of companies don't have a problem with CEOs doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The stockholders don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that it does hurt the CEO's ability to run that company.
And so, what do you think about the governor then?
Well, I think the governor. I think that he should. I wish there was a law that prevented him from being on Temptation Island.
I have a feeling he and Terry won't be on Temptation Island. You never know. All right, John, thanks very much for the call. We have next on the line, Jim from IOTA. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I disagree with what the legislature is doing highly. I think we're putting the cart before the horse. I don't think it's been tried. I think this is high profile. This is good for our state. It's some of the most free advertising we can get. He's a good manager. He always has been. If he couldn't manage, he wouldn't be able to lead the state like he does. We also live in a very highly technological age. He's a minute from telephone. He's a minute from the internet. I mean, to me, this sounds like professional jealousy. It really does.
All right, Jim. Thanks very much.
You bet.
Representative Krinke, professional jealousy?
Certainly not professional jealousy. It's a situation here where I think the caller, again, makes some good points that certainly with communications technology today, the governor is within a very few moments of contact. But here again, the amount of money, I think, is a factor. The type of activity is a factor. And the example that the governor sets for the other state employees and other people across the state does come into play here. And we'll see as time goes on. This legislation, nothing in the legislature happens quickly. So we will have an opportunity over the next couple of months to gauge public's opinion about the XFL and also gauge the governor's performance as he starts his second job.
All right. Last caller is Dexter from St. Paul. Good morning, Dexter.
Good morning.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree with the other callers. I think the representative is way, way out of line. I don't believe that Governor Ventura is a conventional person. Therefore, he will not be a conventional governor. I think that the representative could best spend his time and the taxpayers' money talking about issues that really apply. There is really nothing wrong with what he has done thus far. While I may not agree with all of everything that he proposes to do with his personal life, it is, in fact, his personal life. Representative certainly is old enough to know that you can't legislate morality. And if he has a problem with that, then maybe that he would take a look at another vocation. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Dexter. Are you trying to legislate morality, Representative Krinke? Some might say yes.
Well, certainly I understand and realize that you can't legislate morality, and that's not what I'm trying to do here. I do have strong concerns about the governor's activities. And with regard to some of the comments about legislators' responsibilities, I chair the State Government Finance Committee, which directly oversees the governor's budget, the office of the governor and budget. So therefore, the operations of the governor's office and the governor's budget is one of my legislative responsibilities.
Real quickly, assess the chances of this bill passing this session.
Certainly, I believe it will get substantial support in the House. I don't know what its chances are in the state Senate. And then, of course, there is the issue as to whether or not, if it would pass the House or the Senate, whether or not the governor would have any desire to sign it at all.
All right. Well,
but certainly, I think I appreciate the public debate, and I think it's good for people to think about what the governor's activity and the role of the governor should be.
Representative Krinke, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Phil Krinke is a Republican from Shoreview, and